We're up to Simin Shin Pei Aleph Sif Hey. It's on page Reish Mem Tes. Reish Mem Tes comes after 496. Shnei Batim Shnei Tzidei Rish Hashanah. We have two homes on two sides of the street. V'ikifam Einam Yehudim Mechitza B'Shabbos. We're continuing our discussion of Bitul Rishos. A group of people are in a courtyard, and some of them join in an Erev, and others do not. The solution is, Chazal gave us a backup solution. It's only a backup. It's not ideal. Where those who did not join in the Erev can be mevatel their rishus, can relinquish their rights in relinquish their rights in the courtyard. Okay, so we have over here a new situation. There are two homes across the street, and there are no walls. So obviously, if they're across the street, they're on Shabbos, it is categorically forbidden for each individual to take an object from his home and carry it into the street. That's Lach HaDaraisa. You're going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a manhole, and then there's an explosion, and Con Ed's on the scene, and they close off the block. They close off your home, and they construct... They put up walls, they close up traffic, and they put up walls blocking all access in and out. And you walk outside, look at this. You have four walls in this area. You have your home, your neighbor's home, the street's closed, and there are four walls. Wonderful. What an opportunity. Children are dying to play in the streets. The street's closed off. So why not now, between the people across the street, had we known about this, had this happened before Shabbos, we would have joined together in Eruv Chatzeros, and we would have been able to carry from our homes to the courtyard. But now that this has happened on Shabbos, it's too late. It's too late to make an Eruv Chatzeros, because we know that Eruv Chatzeros can only be on Shabbos. But why not now make Bitu? Let the neighbor, one neighbor on one side of the street, relinquish his rights in the area in the center to his neighbor. I'll relinquish my rights, and that way at least my neighbor, he's now the sole owner of, his sole rights of the area between us, he will be able to carry from his home into the street. Can this be done? So the Mechaber says it cannot.
What kind of area is it between the houses? Right now it turns
into a Rishus HaYachid. Until now it could have been either a Karmelis or a Rishus HaRabim. But now that it's completely closed, it's completely sealed on all four sides, according to all opinions, it's a Rishus HaYachid. It's a Rishus HaYachid. But being the who has rights in this, you have to assume the case that in this Rishus HaYachid, being that it's in between me and you, between the two homes across the street, it is shared by two owners. And these two owners, if they wouldn't want to carry from their home to the courtyard, to the center, would need an Eruv Chatzeros, because you cannot go from a Rishus that's unique to one, to a Rishus that's shared. But there is no Eruv Chatzeros. The best we can do is, we do Bittul. So Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, V'yekifam, and they have been surrounded. Einam Yehudim B'Shabbos. And an Eini Yehudi surrounded them on Shabbos. The inyan sheyesh beneyam kimoy chotzer, in a situation which we now have the equivalent of a courtyard between the two. Sheshnei batim suchim lo, two batim are open to this area. V'harei heim oishim zel zem. So here the mechaber says, einam yecholim levatel kol echad lachaveru. It's too late. Why is it when this introduces a new yesod, a new important idea, Mishnah Brura, Chaf Hei? Why is it too late? Kidei Shiyuch Lachaver L'Shamish V'Atam. The reason is because the Kevan Shelo Hayu Yecholim La'Ariv Yacham Mibod Yom. Since we were unable to do this before Shabbos began. Amrinon kevan shenesa lemixas haShabbos nesa luchol haShabbos. The only time you can do bittul on Shabbos is if you could have done something, if you could have made an eruv before Shabbos began. Bittul is a backup to a faulty eruv. Bittul is not a technique. It's not a device in and of itself. Bittul is a backup to an Eruv. you have to attach the bittul to, if there was potential for an Eruv, then you can make use of bittul. If there wasn't potential for an Eruv, you can't use bittul. An Eruv, as we all know, that's a very basic halach. You cannot make an Eruv on Shabbos. Eruv is triggered when Shabbos begins. Person is where his food is at the time of Bein Hashmashos. If you're not, so again, one more time, be so. Bittul is a backup for Eruv. Eruv only works if it was made before Shabbos. In this situation, Eruv could not have been made before Shabbos because there were no walls in place before Shabbos. Before Shabbos began, it was an open area. The walls were first constructed on Shabbos. It's too late. Okay, let's go now to Halacha Vav. Yerush, nu halacha sim, halacha yerush, im vat l'vishus, she'im loy erev marishoy, umeis b'shabbos, v'yerush bo lodur b'chotzer, v'oyser, yochel levat l'vishus. Let's say we have a person, we have a courtyard, same as Kif Yam before, we have five people in the courtyard, and four people joined together in Erev, and one person did not. And the reason why he did not was because he's stubborn. He's stubborn, or whatever discusses character, whatever the case is. Number one refused to join in an Eruv. So the four people are not permitted to carry in the courtyard. This number one dies on Shabbos itself. So in Halacha, who takes over the property, who the assets? The Yoresh, the son. And the son now walks in. He walks in to see what's doing. The father dies, so he walks in there. He's now the owner. And the son's a real nice guy. And the other people say, you know, we would love to carry her on Shabbos, but, you know, the father never was willing to contribute towards the Eruv. Maybe now, it's Shabbos, it's too late to make an Eruv, maybe at least being that you took over, you can be mevatel your rishus. Relinquish. Now that you are the new owner, you took over, you can relinquish your rights in this courtyard to allow the remaining four to carry in the courtyard. So the answer is it works. It's okay. Because in this case, technically, an Eruv could have been made Erev Shabbos. It's only because the father refused to do so. But there was nothing holding back the father from making the Eruv. And the rule is that the Eruv could have been made on Shabbos, before Shabbos began. Then you can do Bittul on Shabbos. Oh, but here we have a new situation where the father dies and it goes to the Yerush. That's not a problem. That's okay. Father dies, he goes to the Yerush. The Yerush can relinquish the Rishus, and now the other four can carry in the courtyard. Zion. Okay, Baruch, you asked this question. People asked this question to me. Mevalin, v'chayz mevalin. What happens? Let's say we have a courtyard. Let's make believe we have only two people. Make it really simple. There are two people, and the two people did not make an Eruv. And one person, number two, has a desperate need to carry from his home to the courtyard. He wants to take out his beach chair and lie down in the courtyard on Shabbos. So he can't do it because there's no Eruv. So number one says, "Don't worry, Beryl. I'll solve the problem. I will relinquish my rishus in the courtyard. It's now your courtyard. You have sole ownership. You can now carry from your home to the courtyard." And then, number one wants to do the same thing. He also has the urge to take out his beach chair from his home and carry it into the courtyard. So now number two says, "You know what? I will reciprocate. I will now relinquish my rights. That you gave me everything, give it to you, so you will now be the sole owner in the courtyard, so you can carry out into the courtyard." So mevatlin, v'choizrin u'mevalim, this can be done. But the question is, how many times can you do it? Let's see. So k'moymar, what does this mean? Shemevalim b'shusam b'nei chatzer l'zol l'bnei chatzer acheres, o l'yachem b'nei chatzer, ad sheyotzien b'ma sheyotzu, v'choizrin u'mevalim, and then the recipients can reciprocate. And also can vatal to the other ones, until they can take out what they want. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, let's see the Mishnah Berurah, v'choiz rim zayin, v'choiz revan lois ma'aval, im lo hayu choiz revan lohem. But it goes without saying that if they did not reciprocate, lo hayu mutadim hamavalim lohitzi afilu bitlu dam reshus batayim hoyel veheim rabim ve'inam nasim erchem kenet sim. We're just saying they just mean mavalim. He's not saying any chiddush here. And 27, this is 27. Remember, I saw something 27. I did see something interesting. I'm forgetting what I saw. Give me 1 second. Number 27 on Hemshech on page 31. Okay, Okay, let's leave this. Okay, let's put this
okay. Don't they cancel each other out? They're both
the same
order.
What? They're
not the same time.
Not the same time.
Yeah, one thinks it's being Shiraz.
Right. At each point in time, you have to know who's who, right? You have to know who's who. Okay, in 27, I thought I remember seeing something. It says, okay, let's leave that. I don't remember. Maybe it was something else. Okay. That concludes the Siman Siman Shin Pei Aleph. That's pretty much the laws of Bittul. It's a very, very Yisoides HaKalachas of Bittul. Now we come to Siman Shin Pei Beis, and we deal with an entirely new issue, which is very complex. This is the Yalach L'Maisa. It's complex because all of community, it applies all the time. And almost any time you make an area, if you're dealing with Goyim, it's very hard to find a Rishus, to find an area that was only Jews. So you're always going to have a guy. You're always going to have a guy in an apartment building. You're always going to have a guy in the bungalow colony. I mean, not always, but and certainly in a community, if you make an Erev in a city, you can have goyim. So how do you deal with the goyim? So the answer
does
is
government mean goyim.
Yes.
Edison mean goyim.
The city, the mayor of the city has a right to represent all of the residents of the city.
Yeah, so
you rent from them.
Any city.
Any city.
Part of the bush. The concept of city, a town, a village. Is it classified as a guy? And is National Grid a guy and Con Edison a guy?
I don't think, I think it's a resident. If I'm not mistaken, let's say you have a bungalow colony, only Jews. But the gas being pumped in by the guy, National Grid is pumping in the electricity. That doesn't mean that they're wires, right? That their wires are going through your bungalow colony. They're pipes. They have a big major water pipe that goes to that feeds the whole Catskills and happens to run underneath your bungalow colony. That doesn't mean anything. You don't have to deal with them if
so
the resident
individual
a resident. But that resident, we're going to see that resident. You don't have to go to him specifically if you go to who he pays taxes to. Let's say you have your bungalow colony, it's like a little village, and you have a couple of guys who live there. Do you have to actually deal with those individuals, or can you go to someone who they are subordinate to? They pay taxes to City Hall, or to federal government, or I don't know, that we'll see, to the state. They have to answer, they have responsibilities to a higher authority. So then you don't have to necessarily deal with them, you can deal with the higher authority, you can rent from them, and being that these people are subordinate to them in some certain way, that would be okay. So could we, you want to say, let's say your question is, let's say, I'm just making up a question, a theoretical question, this one, yes. Let's say there are three goyim in your community, there are 10 Jews or 3 goyim, and you have electricity and you have gas. Can you go to National Grid or to Con Ed and do schiras and rent from Con Ed and National Grid that renting should work on behalf of the three people? Or do you need to go to someone more significant, someone that has more? Because just electricity is not made, that doesn't necessarily mean. So what's the worst they can do? They can shut off the lights. But the government, if they want, they can cut it and throw them out. The government, you don't pay taxes, foreclosure. They'll take you out, get rid of you. Who is a representative of a guy that schiras makom would work? It's a complex question, and so that utilities. How far do utilities go? But let's see this. Let's get first the basics. The basics are that we first go to the very basic halacha, which is very hard for us to relate to. This goes back to ancient times. Hador im akum bechotzer eino oiser alav. This is a whole new different mindset. It's very hard to relate to this. In ancient times, it was a sakana to live with a guy. You have to think of, you read the stories of Poland, from the old Poland, way before the war, and the Chmielnytsky massacres during that period of time. A guy was a sakana to live with a guy. There were no morals, there were no values. But when you just blink, he can come and chop your head off. That's the mindset we really have in the Gemara, Sakana. It wouldn't happen that a Jew would live in a courtyard alone with a guy. You have one courtyard, and the one courtyard, there's a Jew and a guy. Why? He'll kill you. Who's going to protect you? It's one against one. One against one, he'll kill me. I'm afraid to live with the guy. It's not going to happen. Because it's not going to happen, if it does happen, some guy's willing to risk his life. Chazal said, you know what? You don't need to go and rent from the guy rights in the courtyard. Even though the courtyard technically has been shared by two individuals, by you and a guy, and when you carry from your house, you're going from a Rishus Hayacha to a semi-Rishus Harabim. It's not a Rishus Harabim. Who came? There are four walls. Rishus Hayacha. You don't have to do anything. I mean, Erev. Erev is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Chazal only instituted an Erev in a normal situation. It's a general klal. Chazal did not institute their takanas in unusual situations. It was done for common scenarios. One Jew and one non-Jew, that didn't happen. That was extremely rare. Why was it rare? You fear for your life. And people are not going to put themselves in that situation. So if you don't fear for your life, and you want to live in a courtyard of one Jew and one guy, you do not need to make an Eruv Chatzeres. You can carry from your home into the courtyard. What is a normal situation when there are at least two Jews and a guy? There are two Jews and a non-Jew. The non-Jew is outnumbered. The non-Jew is outnumbered. So then, you don't fear for your life. That way, you're going to live there. You're going to live there. Chazal wanted you to do schiras, to rent from him. Now, this is another thing being done over here. Why did Chazal want you to rent? Why? This whole time, the halach is only a takana. It's only a gzeira. It's a minatoyra. You're dealing with four walls, a rishus hayachid. There really is no issue whatsoever. So Chazal wanted this thing called an era of unity, achdus, unity. It shouldn't be, even though it partially resembles a rishus harav because it's a community. So we want there to be a unity that solves the problem. A goy, he's not part of us. He's not part of the klal. So why would Chazal want even deal with it? Let's say you have 20 goy living in the community. They're not part of the takana. The takana was for the, you make an Erev, you join together with your chaverim, this achdos, so that's it. You've solved the problem. In order to solve the problem of there being a group of people, you've solved the problem. You've come together as a group. Goyim, they're not relevant. They're not relevant to our discussion. There's another issue. The other issue in this Chazal, they stuck in this issue. It's very interesting what they did over here is they don't like the situation where there are goyim living in your courtyard. Not that they don't like goyim, chas v'shalom. We live with goyim, but they live outside. The courtyard, so we're not familiar with the way they lived. A courtyard is a private area. It's a private, it's not like, we're talking about a ghetto life. A ghetto means only Jews allowed in the whole city. We're not dealing with that type. There are goyim all over the place. But in the confines of our immediate seviva, in our courtyard, the Chazal only wanted Jews. You have a chotzer, there are, who's in the chotzer? Only Jews in the chotzer. The guy is in the next chotzer. Let the guy be in the mavui across the street, in the next chotzer. We're not talking about making a ghetto of only, that's not what we're talking about. Therefore, if you want to have a guy in your chotzer, we don't like that. Because that's a bad influence. His children are going to do things in the courtyard that your children should not be seeing, should not be. I want your children to play with his children. We don't want you to see how he lives. We don't want you to spend time with the guy to learn from his evil ways. Therefore, we're going to make problems for you. And the problem is when you want to carry into the courtyard on Shabbos, you're going to have to go have the discomfort and the displeasure of going to the guy and renting from the guy his rishos. And that is not a pleasant situation. Because when you tell the guy, I want to rent your house, can you imagine what he's going to say? I want to rent my house. I'm sorry, I live here. To explain this to a guy, it's not going to go off well. It'll be a very unpleasant situation, and you're not going to have to renew the contract and deal with this. And in the process of going through this whole process, eventually you will come to a situation where you'll have courtyards where goyim do not live in the courtyard. But in the meantime, until you get there, you still have to rent from the guy of the court. So these are the two yisodos. If you live 1-1, it's 1 versus 1, it's unusual. The reason why it's unusual is because you're afraid for your life. So you don't need to do anything. Where it's at least two against one, that's common. That's common. You have to make an irvichatz. Yeah, you have to do something. Yeah, you have to deal with the guy. Why the Chazal want you to deal with the guy? Because we don't want you to learn from his evil ways, and we want to give you a shtickle mussar, think about buying him out. Or think about moving to a place where, at least in the courtyard, you're only surrounded by Jews. Hadar makom b'chotzer ein oisolof. Actually, you shnei Yisrael, once you have two Jews, darim b'shnei batim, living in two batim, then the oishim zazeh, and the two Jews. So once we have two Jews living in the courtyard, so the two Jews need to make among themselves a rivet chatzeros. Oh, so akum oisol, and then the guy is a problem. So why don't we do the same solution we've done for the Jew in the previous sin? The previous sin was when you have one person as a problem. What does one person's a problem do? What does the battle rishus? So let the guy do bittel. The guy knows shulchan aruch. He's a talmud chacham. The guy. I'll be just like you. I'll do battle. Why do you have to give me money? I'll be battle my rishus. I'll relinquish my rights. I won't carry. I love the shugai. No. It doesn't work. That's not part of the kana. Elit sodich sheyaskiru mimenu. You have to rent. You gotta pay money. It's expensive, this proposition. And the guy sees money, he wants more money, and it's not pleasant. And you're getting yourself into a lot of trouble. You have to rent. Okay, then the Hagos says, Ramos says, another halacha. Yisrael shehiskir oy hishul beisoy le'ein Yehudi ein oislav. Let's say a new situation. Let's say we have a Jew, and the Jew owns real estate. Okay, he owns in the courtyard two homes. So the Jew says, I don't need two homes. All my kids are married, they're all gone. I need two homes for. I'll rent out one of the homes. So he rents out a home to a guy. We have a courtyard. Let's make believe there are three Jews in the courtyard, and then we have a Jew number four. And Jew, well, I get a little bit confused. We have a Jew and he owns another home, and the Jew rents out his home to the guy. So the guy is living there. He's paying top dollar to live in this home. So we'll say, oh, since I rented out the, and there's no tefisa bayis, by the way. There's no refrigerator. I don't know nothing. I just give him the rights to live there.
Unfurnished.
With no rights. The guy can do in the home whatever he wants. Totally unrestricted. Because once you have tefisa bayis, that's already another sugya. We'll come later on. That's already a whole different story. And Yisrael shehisker or hishol, he rented. Or hishol, he lent. Beisalein Yehudi. Einoy oiser olav. In this situation, the guy is not a problem. Even though the non-Jew is... even though in this situation the non-Jew is living there, so what? Who owns the apartment? The Jew owns the apartment. And being that there are only Jews, the people who live there are Jews, even though there is one non-Jew, we do not need to rent from the non-Jew because the non-Jew himself is renting, does not own the real estate. He himself is only a guest. It's only a tenant. Because I did not rent or lend my home so that the guy, the non-Jew, should be a problem. That was not my intent. And the Mishnah Berurah says another reason. Let's we'll stop with this Mishnah Berurah. One more Mishnah Berurah. We'll stop here. Zion. Another reason why when a Jew rents his home to a non-Jew, the non-Jew is not going to be a problem. There's no need to do skiras makayim. Shein darkoi shol yisrael lahasker lahashu la'akum bayis b'chotze shusharu b'soycha. Fascinating. Another reason. Because, go back to the old Yisod. When it comes to Sirah Smakam, it was only instituted in normal situations. What is a normal situation? Two Jews and one non-Jew. One Jew and one guy? No, that's not unusual. What's also not unusual? It's unusual for a Jew. What it says, you have to again, go back to Tam Chazal. Maybe Nishana Teva. Today things are different, but it doesn't mean that the halacha changes. When this halacha was instituted, it was extremely rare for a Jew to rent his home to a non-Jew. You wouldn't do it. Especially in your own courtyard. A courtyard, even today. Today, let's say someone sells his house. You would get a lot of trouble if you would sell your house to someone that's not friendly to the neighborhood. Right? Someone who doesn't fit into the community. Who's like totally off. A lot of people will give you a very hard time. I think the neighbors on the block will be very upset. Who exactly are you selling your house to? Who are you letting move in over here? You know, we don't want trouble in the neighborhood. So, what? Right. Okay. So all the more so.
Everybody's
Well, I don't know. But even today, think about it. Say over here on one of these blocks, if someone was going Aliyah and he would sell his home, and he would sell his home to a person that does not fit into the neighborhood. Okay, you can use the imagination. And the neighbors in the block would be up in arms. We're not looking to sell the home to a clone of us. You know, you don't have to be one of you. But you're not looking for trouble. Right? You're not looking for trouble in the neighborhood. So over here, in those days, like he's saying, they were even more segregated, more shtetl-like in their mindset. It didn't happen. If you live in a courtyard, little teeny courtyards, I have a home, I have another home, I'm not using this home, I'm going to rent it out. I'm going to rent it to a gadi, to a non-Jew. It didn't happen. And if it did happen, it's extremely rare. Extremely rare, it falls back on the original principle. In rare situations, Chazal did not institute the takana of schiras makam. So, in addition to the first, what it says in the Rambam, the Mishnah says, "Shei darka." Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue from the Rambam. Now we'll do the minhag for today.